That's a sacred event, an opportunity to let the world know about a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy 2, verses 7 through 14. 2 Timothy 2, verses 7 through 14. And the sermon title is Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. 2 Timothy, starting with verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but in the subverting of the hearers. Read an account, two guys were talking, and one of them said to his friend, he said, you know, I have a friend that has terrible memory. And the fellow said, oh, he forgets everything, huh? And he said, no, he said, he remembers everything. I think most of us are happy that we have our memory. I mean, obviously there's things that we'd like to forget about in life. I mean, you've probably done a few things that you really would like to wipe out of your memory. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we look in, I don't know if you do, but I look in the mirror and say, man, you were really dumb. You know that? Yeah, that was stupid. And some of those kinds of things you wish you could just kind of push off the side. But there's a lot of things it's really, really good to remember. Things that bring you great joy. Things that help you guide and direct even your lives. You know, there's certain people that had great influence on you. If you ask me who had great influence on me as far as an individual goes on this earth, I'd tell you my pastor. That old guy, he was old when I was young, and he lived up into his 90s, and he asked me to preach his funeral one day, and I said, Brother Collins, you might outlive me. He said, well, he said, I'd still like for you to preach my funeral if I die first. Okay. And I had the privilege of standing in the pulpit and sharing about Brother Collins. Brother Collins, who preached so unique preaching. Brother Ralph and Sister Judy knew him well. And Brother Collins, he'd preach up and down the aisles. You know, some of you have never seen anything like that in your life, I know. But he'd preach up and down the aisles. One time he spit his false teeth out. That was Brother Collins. And then, great memories. My mother was a huge influence on my life. The memories about her and the things she told me and the things and the way she revealed her love to me was tremendous for me in my life. Mothers, you should never forget that, by the way. And so there are other people that are in my life. I have a great friend, Mike Ebert. Mike Ebert and his wife, Jeannie, they're such good friends. We've known them for since 1979. And so you add up the years there. And we've gone on vacation with them. We went on vacation with them his father had a motorhome, and we were able to borrow it, and we took it, and we went down to the Grand Canyon, and then we went on up into Colorado, and we were at the Garden of the Gods. And Mike had just, this is a number of years ago, I think it was on our 25th anniversary, and we've been married to be 52 years in March. So it's been a while, and but Mike had just gotten a video camera recorder, a smaller one that he could hold in his hand and do all that kind of stuff. And we were at the Garden of Gods, and we had a rental car, and Jeannie was driving, and Mike got out of the car, and there were some rock climbers there, and he was videotaping them. And if you see the video, it's amazing because all of a sudden the camera starts going, whoo, 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 whoo. And all of a sudden you hear Mike say, Jeannie, you ding-dong, you ran over my foot. She let the car roll, and it rolled over his foot. Well, my family, if somebody got hurt, the first reaction was to laugh. And I was in the back seat of the car laying down on the seat crying almost. And finally, my first name's Homer, and finally Mike says, and you get it all on film too, Mike says, shut up, Homer. And so I have great memories like that. And I'm sure you have some memories that you could relate that is family-oriented or church-oriented or just friend-oriented, where you look at somebody or something that took place. I remember the day that I realized when I went in the Army that they weren't going to treat me as good as my mother did. It was late at night. They fed us. We'd just gotten to the depot area where they were going to cut our hair and do all those things. And I remember getting my food, and they were all dumping their stuff into the trash can, so I dumped it in. I'd left the fork and a spoon on there, you know. The guy said, get that out of there. I won't tell you what I wanted to say, okay? But I got it out, and at that moment, I knew they wouldn't treat me as good as my mother. You know, and so there are significant things that have happened in your life that you want to remember. Things that you might not want to remember, but there are plenty of things that are significant to you. The truth of the matter is, as a pastor, I've seen people go through all kinds of issues. I've seen them go through the good things, the bad things. I've seen them when there's been births and deaths. I've seen marriages and divorces. I've seen it when parents are celebrating their children with joy. I have the opportunity to do this, you know. My granddaughter is on a billboard in California for a softball tournament, and they put her on the billboard. So when she sent it to me, I said, "Is there a reward offered?" You know, and so you see, you have all those good things, but then parents, there's a couple things that you know, if it was legal, you might have strangled your kids, you know. And so you have the good and you have the bad and you have all of those kinds of things. But one of the things that is probably most important is, not probably, that is most important, is the question of whether we make decisions based upon what Jesus would have us to do. Do we remember Jesus when we make our decisions? To remember who he is and what he's done. You know, the prophet Joel said in Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of the decision. We need to keep Jesus in our minds so that our lives will be lived out in a manner that brings glory to him and that pleases him. By the way, many times the bad things in your life came because of the bad decisions that you made without considering Jesus in the process of it. You decided you would do something, you would go somewhere, you would act in a certain way, and you did not consider Jesus at all about it. And oftentimes those kind of decisions are the decisions that bring great hurt and great sorrow to you. Some of those around us today seem to think that it's okay if they don't consider Jesus. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about some religious folk. people that go to church and they think that because they made a commitment to Christ at a certain point in their life, that they can move and do and act in any way they want, and God's going to just say it's all right, and that they would never, never be able to, quote, lose their salvation. The problem is that the Scriptures seem to give us a different idea about that. In Revelation 2, 4, and 5, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Did you get that demand that Jesus speaking here? That demand that he gives us? Friend, you and I cannot just go out and live life any way we desire, but we are to be people who live life in the manner that Jesus would have us to. We must remember Jesus in the decision-making process that we have in our lives. If we do not, then I guarantee you, it will not be good, and life will not be what you want it to be. So in this area of Scripture, Paul tells us to remember Jesus. He lets us know that we should remember what Jesus did, remember that Jesus is present, and remember that Jesus is faithful. Those are the three areas that I would like to just to spend a little bit of time tonight with you on. So let's look at what Jesus did. In verse 8, it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And in verse 7, he says, I go back a little bit, "Consider what I say." Now, that term, "consider what I say," that phrase, literally means to understand or to grasp. He isn't saying just look at it. He's saying understand it and grasp it for yourself. Be a person that looks at what God has to say to you and what he has to give to you and grasp it for yourself. Some people go to church and they think that going to church is about hearing a sermon, singing a few songs, praying a prayer, and taking up the offering, then leaving. But that's really not what it's about. You see, when you and I come into a worship time, we're supposed to be here trying to find out what God has to say to us and how that is applied in our lives as we leave this facility. See, it's easy to get up and say amen and raise our hands here. But the question is how do we remember Jesus when we leave here? Whether it's on your job or with your family. I was telling the guys in the Sunday school class what happened to me this week. And I told Ruth about this. Ruth and I have talked through the years, and I've told Ruth, I said, I really want to die first. I want you to live past me. And the reason is that, you know, I'm not much of a cook, you know. And she won't let me get near the laundry because she's afraid I'll mess it up. So I really don't know how to do laundry. And I was trying to fill the dishwasher up the other day, and she told me, she said, you don't do it like I want it done. You know, so, of course, who am I to argue with that? And so, the thought of trying to find another woman my age, I just don't want to deal with that, you know? And I was walking out of the VA, I'd gone down to have my eye exam, and walking out of the VA, and as I was walking down the sidewalk, it was like God slapped me in the face. And he said, "She may need you to outlive her and take care of her." And I thought, Gerald Rudd, you have been so selfish. So selfish to think like that. And so I made a deal with God. Whatever he wants, that person can go first. You know, whatever it is. And if I get to stay and take care of my wife, I will celebrate that. But you see, you and I have to understand that What God gives us in His Word is about how we live and how we live it out. It's not just for information. It's not so that you can be involved in some kind of question and answer period and have more answers than somebody else. It's so that you and I can be people who are living in a manner that remembers Jesus and what we're saying and what we're doing. And the reason for that, one of the reasons, the major reason, I read it in Isaiah 53, and it goes like this. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the Lord, arm of the Lord revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep for her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Why should you and I remember Jesus? Look what he did for us. Now, a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand that. But Christian people ought to grasp that and remember Jesus because of what all he's done for us. It's amazing when you read this area of Scripture. Now, remember, when you read this area of Scripture, Jesus was in heaven with all the glories of God. Now, I don't know what all those things were. I don't know everything. But I know this. The angels bowed down to him. Everything in heaven was benefited him. He was the creator of it all. See, when you read the Scriptures and you read about God stepping into nothing and making something, You and I need to understand that he did that on our behalf. He has the power and the ability, and yet he left heaven to face this because he saw you. He saw you. And he saw me. And if we don't remember him, then we're saying to him, all of that means nothing to us. And so, fathers and mothers, when you are raising your children and you fail to give them the love of Christ to act as a father should or a mother should, you are actually causing them to think less of Jesus than what they should, and it might affect their eternity. You see, you and I have been given so much. He did this for us. And one of the ways that we remember that is by remembering where we came from. You see, I don't have to go far through this room to know that everybody's not been the best people in their life. See, all I have to do is pick up a mirror and look at myself and realize that somewhere along the way, I sure messed it up. But man, oh man, this one that bore my transgressions, this one that love me in that manner came so I could be forgiven. So I need to remember Jesus. I need to remember who He is and what He's done. I need to think about that and make that a matter of how I determine life. What's your life like? I tell you, we oftentimes have failed to remember all of those things that God has done for us. And sometimes when life gets tough as a Christian, some people might say, man, I didn't have it this bad when I was a sinner. Now, the truth of the matter is you did have it that bad and worse. Now, some of you have scars on your hearts because of how you lived and what happened to you and what was done to you. Some of you have scars in your minds. And some of us have scars in our bodies. And I tell you that if we would remember Jesus and remember what all He has given and what all He has done, if we would just grasp that, we would be able to be people who are receiving more and more and more of what God has for us. But if you forget about it, understand this. Brother Ralph used this area of Scripture this morning. What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then he goes on, said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Friend, I ask you the question here today. If you forget about Jesus, what will it cost you? There is a price, and you will pay for it. Now, unfortunately, if you forget it, your children will pay for it, and possibly your grandchildren and generations to come. You and I should never forget that. We should always remember of Jesus giving Himself for us. He saw the great need that the world has, and He provided the answer. Matter of fact, there's an area of Scripture that it amazes me when I read it and when I think about it. It's in the 5th chapter of Revelation. And listen to what's stated here. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now listen to this question and listen to what he continues to say. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now, folks, I think that this is the picture that we have when God said, somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody's got to be the sacrifice. And here's the book we'll put their names in. We call it the Lamb's Book of Life. And they said, it's sealed up. Who's worthy to open it? Who's worthy? And they searched the world over. Now, I don't know how you think about this, but it's like the angels are running all over creation, the world, the underworld, heaven itself, and they're trying to find somebody, and they run up to Moses and say, Moses, what about you? You know, you're a pretty good guy now. What about you opening the book? And Moses said, I'm not worthy. And so they would run somewhere else, and they'd find Isaiah, and they'd say to Isaiah, Isaiah, you are a prophet, a prince of prophets. What about opening the book? And Isaiah would say, no, not worthy, not worthy. And it says, he wept. John, the disciple wept, the apostle wept, because no one could open the book. Who could provide the book, make the book open so that you could get in it? And he says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus rises up and he opens the book up. And folks, you got your name in it because he opened the book. And it was written, your name is written with his blood so that you could be in that book. You see, you must remember Jesus. You must remember Jesus. And by the way, if you forget him here, you will remember him in eternity. Whether it's heaven or hell, you will remember him. Well, remember that Jesus is present. In 2 Timothy 2:8 there, I ran across, I forget which version or an individual's translation of this area of Scripture, and he puts it like this: remember Jesus forever risen and forever present. Remember your risen and ever present Lord. Now that's something that's worth remembering. Jesus is ever present. He's there with you at all times, at every moment, at every turn, at every sorrow, at every joy, at death, at birth, at any moment that you go through, he is present with you. You never walk alone. You have him with you. You ought to never forget that. When you step into your world and it's crumbling around you, understand that God walks with you. Jesus will come down and he will stand with you. He will be in you. He will help you. He will lift you. He will hold you. He will love you at every moment, at every turn, wherever you go, whatever happens, whatever takes place. Understand this, he is present with you. You say, well, I don't feel him. Well, bless your heart. You're not supposed to feel him. You're supposed to have faith in him. And if you have faith in him, sometimes the feelings come. But even if they don't, you still have faith that he said it. He's true. He will be there with you. My, isn't that amazing? This is marvelous, the truth that we're given. He said in Hebrews 13:8, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What actually happens in lives today is that many seem to have come to the conclusion that their actions in life do not really matter. But friend, understand this, it does. Because Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there with you. As a kid, my mother took me to church all the time. Understand this. I didn't get saved until I was 21. I didn't like going to church. You people were kind of weird. And the truth of the matter, you still are, you know. But I'm weird too. So, but as a kid, I can remember I'd sit in the back of the church, and we didn't have this large a facility, you know. I think they held about 200 or so at max, 250 maybe. And I'd be sitting back in the back, and my mother would sit with the pew on the pew with her arm up on the pew where she could look and see me. Okay? And if she went, I knew that if she did it again, when I got home, I was dead meat. Yeah. Yeah, my mom didn't mess around with you. I mean, she'd take care of you right now. But there was also times where my mother would be with me when I needed somebody to comfort me, to love me. I was sick. As you know, I used to get croup. I don't know what it was. We called it the croup. And my mom, Vicks Vapor Rub, you know, and put a towel on you and stick you under one of those things, the vaporizer things and all that kind of stuff. And she'd say, and then she wanted to give me medicine. I'll take a shot any day, but don't give me anything nasty to drink, okay? And she'd have to hold my nose and she'd ram it down my throat, you know. She was there at all of those times, the good, the bad. I was wounded in Vietnam, and my second letter beat my first letter home. I don't know how that happened. And she read it, and she got confused. And she, back then they had the War Department instead of the State Department. And she called up the War Department. And I guess it was the next day, the Red Cross came in and chewed me out for not writing my mother a letter. I mean, she was there all the time. It didn't matter. I mean, she was. Folks, don't you know that Jesus is there all the time with you? Sometimes he needs to hold your nose and put something down your throat, you know. Sometimes he might point his finger at you and say, you know, that's not how you're supposed to act. Now, you never have times like that. I was shooting a competition yesterday, and I was standing talking to a guy, and another guy came up, and he took his hand and pushed me out of the way. And he didn't say, excuse me. I was upset. I mean, I was upset. I thought, I really want to tell him, what is your problem, buddy? You know, I really wanted to say a couple things to him, but then I thought, you know, come on, Gerald, you know, what's the big deal, you know? But I was wanting to find a way that I could push him as I walked by, and I didn't, you know, because you see, Jesus would say, Red, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I think sometimes God points his finger. See, Jesus is ever present. If you're his child, he's there with you. And folks, you don't have to look at life and think that you're alone. Again, let me give you the last point. I know that you got bowling to do tonight, and that pastor says he gives, you know, 1 hour. I didn't tell you that I only do 1 hour, okay? I didn't say that. So, but I will finish up pretty quickly, though. The last thing I give you is the idea that Jesus is faithful. See, in this letter to Timothy, we're shown that God can be trusted. Even though the entire world cannot be trusted, God can. Even if every person you have ever put your faith in has failed you, God is faithful. Even if the entire world is falling apart like a city in an earthquake, Jesus can be trusted. For us today, that means that whatever you're at, whatever you're going through, you can trust him. There's an account I read about. There's a guy by the name of Dick Hillis. He was a missionary in China during the time when the communist Chinese were taking over the nationalist Chinese. The nationalist Chinese became Taiwan, and they shifted out. And in about 50, 51, the communist Chinese kicked all the missionaries out. Well, Dick Hillis was a missionary during that tumultuous time when the battles were taking place. And he and his wife and kids were living in a village, and the armies were battling, and they got closer and closer. And one day, an artillery round landed in their yard, right next to the window where his children were playing. Brick glass, dirt went in. He went running in fully expecting to find his family dead, his children dead. And when he got in, he said there wasn't a scratch on any of them. He said that night, he was putting his daughter Margaret Ann to bed, and he looked in, at her pillow, and on her pillow, attached to her pillow, was a dirty piece of paper that was printed with a first grade style. It said this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Little Margaret Ann was sleeping on this big promise that a big God had given her. The next morning, Hillis got out and examined the gaping hole made by the shell. And by the way, after that first shell had hit, another shell had hit and had killed the entire family next door. And Hillis went out and checked it out. And he realized that if the artillery gun had been raised a fraction of an inch, that it would have hit his house and killed his entire family. And this is what he thought. He said, God not only is able to count the very hairs of our head, but he also is able to measure and adjust a fraction of an inch. And then he brought this scripture to his mind. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You may think that things cannot happen to you, but know this. That things like this can't happen to you, but know this. You can trust God. You can trust the one that saw you before you breathed air in this world. You can trust the one that let his son come to die for you. You can trust the one that spoke the worlds into existence. You can trust the one that saw you in your sin before you even knew it. You can trust the one that let his son shed his blood so that your sin could be forgiven. You can trust the one that will walk with you in life. You can trust the one that will hold you when you need to be held. You can trust the one that will love you when nobody else loves you. And you can trust the one when you are unlovable, because he will still love you. You see, you can trust him. He is faithful. He is faithful. What he says is true. The very words he spoke about forgiving you are true. The world can say, oh, that's not possible. Look at how you've lived. But know this, God said that if you would confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Understand that takes in everything that you have ever done, everything that you have thought about doing, everything that has come upon you. Understand that God is able to forgive it all. He is faithful. And so when you are facing whatever you face, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you. And remember that he is faithful. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you. You are absolutely amazing. The old song, Amazing Grace, is absolutely correct. We look at what you have done, and we cannot measure it correctly. We can't come up we can't quantify it. We can't say there's so much of this and so much of that. All we know is that the God who made everything has promised us that He will forgive us if we come to Him.